Better.
Yeah.
Switched my mics.
Okay, we're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the study session of the University City Council to order on December the 14th at 5:30. You have before you prior to the agenda for the study session, you have before you the agenda for the regular session of the City Council. Are there any changes that would like to be made to the Council agenda? Mr.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to ask that we flip-flop agenda item J4 with J3. Just to make it a little more consistent in the process.
Okay. There's a motion there's a suggestion to move to just flip 3 and 4 under item J, which I'm fine with. Mr. City Manager, do you have other changes you'd like to make?
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I would ask to move consent item G1 to the City Manager's report, and I would ask to remove item H2 from the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Any other changes from other members of council? Hearing none, can we move then to the agenda at hand? Mr. Rose.
Yes, Honorable Mayor and council members. In January, I am proposing to place on your agenda a TNR ordinance for your consideration. Tonight, I'm asking that the mayor and council provide input into the draft ordinance. And I have Mr. Cross will be presenting this item. Mr. Cross?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rose, and good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. As Mr. Rose had touched on, and you're all aware of, there's been a lot of input from citizens in reference to the trap, neuter, and release program. And I think Ms. Ginsburg's probably one of the biggest supporters of this and bringing it to council's attention. What we're looking at doing, as Mr. Rose had touched on, is obtaining some feedback from you to help us draft an appropriate ordinance. We've gone to some other communities and reviewed their ordinances and have drafted an ordinance of our own that you all have a copy of. And the intent of this ordinance is to work with the TNR folks so that they have assurances that the city supports this program. And quite honestly, they've got a little bit of protection from city staff in terms of determining whether or not they're in violation of our animals ordinance, and specifically as it pertains to abandoning animals, which some people could perceive the catch and then the re-release as some form of abandonment. So that's what we're bringing to you here tonight. We have drafted this ordinance, and basically all it is to section 210 of our municipal code, which regulates animals, and article 3 to that for community cats, as indicated in the ordinance. And if you look at it very closely, it's pretty basic in the sections, in that section 1 really just defines what a community cat is, what a community caregiver is, and so forth. And then it talks about in section B, the permitted acts. And this really protects and sets the process and the policy that both they have to follow, and then how staff can address their catch and release of these animals. For example, they have to clip the ears, so we know it's a released cat. They have to follow a proper process where they release them, and then they have to ensure that they're in a safe environment, not abandoned. This also allows for them to feed the cats throughout the community. I think you've got some calls about code officers that have notified some of these folks that they can't feed these animals. And bear in mind, though, we want to make sure that when they do this, that they are not creating a nuisance either, and rodents and varmints and things like that in neighborhoods. So we thought that this draft ordinance and bringing it to you is a good start to get your input and your feedback to then draft a final ordinance that we would like to bring before you in January, as Mr. Rose had indicated. So that's really the gist of it. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have and take any input.
Before getting to questions, Mayor and Council, I did want to indicate there are several of you who received emails regarding the number of pets that are currently allowed per household in University City. I have asked the Parks Commission to provide you with a recommendation on that issue. So that issue will not be brought to you until the latter part of January or the first part of December. The Parks Commission does not meet again until January. That's why that is being delayed. So happy for myself or Mr. Cross to respond to any questions that you have.
Any questions from members of council regarding the agenda item, trap, neuter, and release?
Mr. I'd like to say something. I'd like to say something that here is one of the cats from the TNR program. And as you can see, its ear is tipped. And there's another one running around here somewhere. So I say I'm in favor of this program as well as these cats are. And they are not nuisances. In fact, they are because they come in the house and they freeload, but they spend the night and the days outside. And I certainly haven't seen any mice around. So I'm in favor of the program.
Mr. Clay, I'm not sure how you follow up the question, but it's the ball in your court.
Rarely am I off stage, but I shall say that I am this evening. So just so I'm clear, and you'll have to forgive my ignorance, this concept is a new one to me, I'll admit. So is it citizens who actually do the trapping? So it's clearly not city officials. It's actual just folks in the community who actually, you know, appropriately harvest the animal and take them to the appropriate facility. I noticed it, you know, the neutering certainly needs to be done under the care of a licensed veterinarian. Individual citizens would not be doing that, but it is citizens who actually take the animals to get this procedure done. Is that correct?
Yes, it's volunteers that are part of the program.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, as I understand it, it's a not-for-profit organization that's primarily involved in the trapping and neutering or spaying of the animals and then releasing them. Also, Mr. Cross, I could not recall that our own animal control officer, as well as the county, does any trapping of cats as well.
We don't do a lot of that. We do provide assistance when needed. But one of the things we do is we do help coordinate the yearly neutering and spading event that takes place. So we do work with them there. But as you know, out there trapping, no, we don't do a lot of trapping unless there's an issue.
Mr. Mulligan, would you like to reply?
Thank you, Mayor. What I'd like to do is bring to the attention of the council one issue. Mr. Rose spoke of the ordinance that limits the number of animals that one may keep on a lot. And this draft bill before you has a definition of community cat giver, which states that such a person is not considered the owner, harborer, controller, or keeper of a community cat. So council may want to clarify in this bill or in the keeping more than two animals ordinance, whether or not the maximum number of cats of two would apply to community cats or not. And that could be done either by clarifying language in this draft bill or the other ordinance, but it's an open issue right now in this draft ordinance.
Well, I know that Mr. Smotherson and Ms. Klein have questions. My guess is that my colleagues will probably leave this to you folks to come back to us to address that in the subsequent legislation for how many pets can be in a house. But I that's just my guess, is that we probably want to make sure we don't solve one problem and create another. Mr. Smotherson, you are on mute.
Okay, I got it. Briefly, I just simply wanted to say and comment in agreement with Council Member Cusick in that, you know, I'll try to be brief. When Aaron Ginsburg used to come up to every council meeting and talk about this subject, you know, I will admit I didn't think much of it. But we have community cats in my neighborhood, and I've even mentioned this to Councilman Member Cusick in that. And I actually had to call Aaron Ginsburg, and I've witnessed this program, and it is a good program. And the last story I'll tell you is that I have a garage studio, and a mouse every winter would sneak into my garage, and I literally watch it come in and out. I have not seen any mice at all.
You know, I think there's a theme to tonight's meeting. So I'll try not to share any stories of my pets this evening. Ms. Klein.
I just wanted to, first of all, I wanted to recognize that all the efforts of the volunteers in the community, you know, I know that they work through a county nonprofit, but our University City has the most volunteers of any other municipality, which I think is really great. And I know that they've done a lot of work, and I'm really supportive of what they're doing. You know, I know that some places, speaking of rats and mice, that some places actually, you know, charge to bring cats into an area to get rid of the mice and the rats. So we get them for free. The other thing, the other question I had was in terms of the number of pets issue. I know that some municipalities have residents residents. I don't know if it's groups of residents, but they would register a colony of cats. So, you know, I mean, cats kind of, they go around in colonies. So it's not a matter of one person maybe feeding one or two cats. It may be, you know, that there's more than that. So, I mean, is that possibly something that would be written into an ordinance and an acknowledgement of, you know, a colony of cats?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Klein, I think that if there is a desire to have a registration of a colony of cats, that it would fit well within this ordinance that will be brought forward to you. So that's something we'll work with the city attorney on to see if we can develop some language that meets that need.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions, Mr. Hales?
Thank you. This sort of dovetails off Councilmember Klein's question about colonies. Do we have currently, have we had in recent history concerns about, say, large colonies of feral cats? And where I'm getting at is, I think the neutering and spaying aspect of this addresses a potential concern that some folks may have about if people are feeding colony cats, is there going to be a scenario where there are, you know, 35 cats coming to eat at one person's house? Have we had complaints or concerns about that up to this point? I have not heard of any.
I'll defer to Mr. Cross. I've not received any complaints about individuals feeding cats, but he has oversight of our animal control operation.
Yeah, no, you're correct. We haven't, I don't recall any complaints about the feeding of the cats. The only thing that we have gotten is, and I know the code officers will occasionally look at this, is when the food is put out, and if very rarely I would guess, but if the cats don't eat all the food and there's food there, and they're, you know, and they ran off, then rodents might come. And there's been an instance here or there where the rodent gets up and gets in the trash and will, you know, put trash, spread trash out in the alley or wherever it may be. But the actual feeding and the gathering of the cats has not been an issue that we've heard of at this point.
Okay. And just as a follow-up, I'm pleased we're finally getting a chance to talk about this in depth. I really think that if we don't have a problem now, that introducing the spaying and neutering aspect of it is going to ensure that that type of scenario with many, many, many cats does not, it controls the expansion of the colony, and make sure that that problem does not become a problem in the future. So thank you.
Anyone else? If not, can we move on to the next agenda item, Mr. Rose?
Yes, Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item asks for your input and provides you with an update on a project under consideration, that being the expansion of municipal parking lot number 4. If you recall, we are in negotiations with two companies, one being a hotel and the other being a marijuana dispensary, for leasing parking spaces in parking lot 4. So I would, if those contracts are approved by the mayor and council, certainly be my recommendation to use those funds to cover the cost needed to expand parking lot 4. Tonight, I want to have our public works director, Sinan Aplasan, present you with the cost of the expansion and what that expansion could look like. Mr. Aplasan.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Mayor Crow and council members. I have a presentation of a few slides to share, if you allow me, please. Do this. Can you view?
Yes,
yes,
we can see it.
This first slide is just general information about our municipal parking lot number 4. On the next slide, you will see the location of it. It's the largest parking lot in our Dalmar Loop area. It houses 388 parking spaces. There was a few less prior to an improvement project in 2014 that was completed in this parking lot that resurfaced and restriped it and accomplished some ADA Americans with Disabilities Act related goals on it for pedestrian access. And as a result, we gained 5 additional spaces. So the total today is 388 parking spaces, existing parking spaces. There is a caveat that is about 18 of these spaces exist on private property. And that is due to the properties on commercial properties on Dalmar. Maybe I should switch to the next slide so we can see that. The properties where I'm pointing here in this area, that one property and the next, the adjacent property to the east, they have some property lines that actually encroach the parking lot. And so those spaces that are within those areas are naturally private spaces. So the total number of those spaces in the lot is 18. And so it is counting these spaces pretty much on this row. And then the other one is a little interesting because they look like they're cut in half. But since a certain part of those spaces are private, we consider them private. And there is also an area, looking at the wrong layout, this is the existing layout. So an area to the north of that section with the private spaces, that have accounted for some additional parking spaces. The number there is 20. And those are under a lease agreement that is called London Parking Lot Easements. And that agreement is currently until the year 2025, in effect until the year 2025. It last extended for 10 years in 2015, covers the use of those spaces, 20 of them in that area, from 8 a.m. To 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Although those spaces are located within the public portion of the parking lot, they are under accounted for under that agreement. So effectively reducing those from the total, subtracting that from the total number, we're down to 350 as for publicly available parking spaces in this lot. So you see some lines on this plan sketch that show, those green lines show rights of way. So this area was it wasn't always a parking lot, and so it was a regular street grid before. And when it was that, the certain areas within it were streets, and so it was rights of way. And so some of these rights of way still remain in the parking lot, and so the lines on the drawing depict those. And you will later see on a slide a consolidation of lots in my cost estimate proposal that is to, if possible, if approved, consolidate this lot as one property lot, and so get rid of those rights of way areas, not to confuse property ownership or use on it. And so the proposal to expand this lot is to the north. And so that is to accomplish this next slide, which is just a concept at this point. This is an expansion of this lot by adding one more parking row to the north that would encroach onto Loop North Avenue. And so what that would do is it would demolish a sidewalk to the north of the northernmost parking row right now, and then make that as a part of parking spaces. And so that would add 63 parking spaces in that area. However, for Loop North Street to function as a parking aisle with this change, we would need to widen Loop North to the north also. There is some available land, and so you may have seen the green space in that area. And it's just, it presents some grading challenges, so there is some accounting for that in our cost estimate. And the goal with the widening of Loop North is to still be able to have two-way traffic in that section, the northernmost aisle of the parking aisle of the lot. For access, as well as remove an intersection at Heman and Loop North at this location, because that intersection would not anymore serve a parking aisle such as this, not properly for traffic movements in the area. So curb that up and then move that intersection and access between the neighborhood to the north of this parking lot and the Loop Delmar Loop area to east to Leland. This street name is missing here. Sorry about that, but this is Leland Avenue. And so open this area up at Leland and Loop North now for that access. And so the parking lot would have one access from, well, in addition to the existing one access of our Leland, would have another access here, one of the main accesses, as well as two accesses from the west of our Kingsland. And I have put together a very preliminary cost estimate for this work by estimating the construction cost of hard construction cost of these improvements as $250,000 with $30,000 design investment for this project, $15,000 such as I explained briefly explained before for the surveying and consolidation of this lot into one property, clearing up any easements rights away, several property ownership on it. And the $30,000itemized cost estimate section of this estimate is for miscellaneous work and construction contingency. There are a lot of unknowns, so we have not yet looked into, such as the access from the west that that is off of Kingsland at the signalized intersection right now. That's a county intersection, and the county might require additional steps to complete that the way that we design it, as well as any contingencies related to if we run into any issues in terms of grading the area, any underground utilities. We know there is a sewer under that sidewalk on the north, and that may be shallow, may need to be relocated. As well as lighting, because by moving that curb on the north, loop north, we get into some Ameren lighting that is existing in the area. So that lighting, if it's relocated, do we still keep it or do we just expand our own parking lot lighting into that area? But effectively what this project does is add 63 parking spaces. However, when we account for our 25 existing spaces in that area that is parallel parking on Loop North, the net increase becomes 38 spaces. That per space development cost of this project for University City becomes less than $10,000. And what I'd like to also touch at this point is in terms of revenue, if there are, such as the London lot easements that I, parking easements that I previously referenced, of course, that's a no revenue type of arrangement. But in the future, if there is revenue producing usage of the spaces on this parking lot, then I'm aware of one that I included in this slide as the 17 spaces for True Hotel. Those are to account for revenue for this parking lot, as well as you may remember from the Loop Trolley discussions at the time for the project to be approved, there was 9 parking spaces that was needed that the Loop Trolley didn't have on the corridor. And so those spaces were developed on Loop North. That should be another item on this slide that I missed. Again, it's a non-revenue type of item, but it is one to be accounted for in terms of the overall numbers of this study. With that, I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Sinan. Can you move from sharing your screen and then I can see who has questions? You may have to share again, but for the time being, to my colleagues, to the presentation on lot number 4, who has questions of staff? Mr. Kusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. The private spaces, there are 18 private spaces, and those are forever owned privately, correct?
Councilmember Cusick, that is correct.
And then there's 20 spaces that are under a lease agreement until 2025. But are those, I wasn't 100% certain, are those still spaces that in the part of the parking lot that University City owns? and we lease those out?
Correct. And so those spaces are available for use. There is a certain regulation right now in our code that I have located. It allows for 1 hour restricted parking in every day but Sunday on those spaces. So that restriction is permanently in our code. I'm not sure whether it's related to this lease or not, but other than that restriction, those spaces are available for public use.
And then now, what is the issue with this, the right-of-way sections? Could you elaborate on that? Looks like it doesn't right-of-way mean that the right-of-way use allow vehicular traffic, but it looks like there's a lot of parking spaces in the right-of-way. I'm confused about this.
So when the lot was developed, the rights of way were not followed as for matching drive aisles to the rights of way as if they would act as streets. And so some of those areas overlap the parking spaces. That's why I would recommend to Mr. Rose, when if this project is approved, to consolidate this lot and get rid of those rights of way. The rights of way were where the previous streets existed. So one of those alignments is in fact Heman Avenue. The other one is Enright Avenue. So those were streets then when there were properties on those streets, not anymore.
I understand. And a final question on the 20 spaces, the 18 spaces that are on private property, who pays for the maintenance and upkeep on those spaces? Do we pay for that, or are the private owners responsible for the upkeep on those spaces?
Maintenance and upkeep is on the private property owner. So when we executed that project in 2014, 2015, we charged those owners for the those applicable costs of the project.
And finally, I'd like to say that I would like to see this go through, because there will come a day again when on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights, Saturday afternoons, and Sunday afternoons, we will go and we will try and park in that parking lot, and it'll be jam-packed full, meaning that the loop will be thriving. So I would be in favor of this too.
Other members of council, any questions from you? Mr. Clay.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember what my question was. So yes, the revenue, forgive me, Director Alpison, and this may have been mentioned somewhere else. The revenue we expect to generate per parking space, what does that look like?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Corley, we are looking at two sources of revenue for this potential expansion. That is for the marijuana dispensary and also for the True Hotel as outlined in the presentation. Both of those projects require additional parking that they are not able to meet currently. The agreement, I believe the marijuana dispensary has been marijuana hotel. That might get to that at some point. But dispensary, I believe that one has already been approved. The one that we're waiting on now is for the True Hotel. Both of those outline the revenues that would be received. And what I would be recommending is that we use those revenues to cover the cost of this expansion, and if future expansions are needed for the same reason that businesses aren't able to meet their parking obligations, that we would continue to be able to expand parking for this area.
What do you see as being able to fetch per spot? I know we've got one, it sounds like one contract for the dispensaries already in the bag. So we may be able to use that, but what do we think we can realize in terms of revenue? What's the
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I believe it is $100 per space, but I'm going to defer to our city attorney, John, because he actually drafted the agreements.
That is correct, Mr. Rose. $100 per space is what the council approved for the marijuana dispensary. $100 a space for a true hotel is under discussion, and we have okay. preliminary agreement on that, but we're still working out some details.
Okay, per space per month.
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
Other members of council. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just a quick question in that, when do you foresee the marijuana dispensary needing those spaces? Meaning, when will that be built, and when will those spaces? Because you said that they've been already approved, correct? So when do you foresee that happening? When that they'll need those spaces?
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, I believe that, and I'll defer to John again, I believe the way that our contract is structured with them is that they would not start paying until they actually need those spaces. It's difficult to determine at this point what the market will indicate. Certainly the coronavirus threw things off schedule. But John, I don't know if you have any additional information or that you can share on this.
It's my understanding it's the first part of next year. I don't have that agreement in front of me. Very soon, I would add that these are non-exclusive spaces. So we do not have 10 spaces on this lot designated for the marijuana dispensary. Those the 10 spaces are shared with the public at large. So we're not setting aside 10 spaces.
Okay, and so that's the beginning of next year, or close to, or sometime early next year. What about the hotel?
Well, the hotel would be what's being discussed right now, and again, the preliminary discussions. But it would be when a building permit an occupancy permit. Is issued for both the hotel and the office. So whenever that takes place. So, they have to get their building permit. They have to demolish, they have to construct, and then they get their occupancy permit. Mr. Cross may be in a better position to provide a construction timeline on that and when an occupancy permit would likely be received.
Mr. Cross, have we actually received a schedule at this point for the true hotel? I didn't believe that we had.
We have not. For the medical marijuana, January 1 is their target. They actually are doing the work now over at the building and have all their permits. So I would expect January, they're going to have that demand for the medical marijuana dispensary. The hotel, it was structured upon, as Mr. Mulligan had indicated, upon the issuance of the occupancy permits for both uses, because the logic at that point is that they will need them all upon the issuance of an occupancy permit, which is the only avenue to legally occupy the building. So that once that's issued, that's when that will kick in. So not until at least the construction of the hotel and the renovation of the office building is completed and both occupancy permits are issued.
Okay, and I appreciate that. That helps a lot. Last thing I'll say is that, are we sure about this marijuana parking across in Lot 4? Because, they're going to be leaving and coming and going and have to cross Delmar. That's going to be kind of shaky.
If I could jump in, though, this is really much more about the requirements in the loop, that if you're using parking, you've got to have a resulting solution. And I'm assuming that many of the marijuana dispensary customers will park right in front of the dispensary and right around the back of it, but they have a requirement that they have to have a certain amount of spaces. And so this gets them to that level, and it benefits the city as well. So, yeah. Real quickly, I have a question. This is one that I perennially ask, and I'm going to ask it yet again. And that is there a benefit to us to either having Loop North or Leland just be one way instead of two way and give us more parking spots? Because I still scratch my head totally at why this street still exists in a two-way setting. I've heard that we may have an issue with the fire department. I've heard that we have a bus stop, but I'm still trying to understand why we are not converting that area to, at a minimum, a one-way street and give us access to more parking. Did this for 38 spaces, I get it, but if we make the street somewhat narrower, I don't even think we want people using that street that much. So I'm just trying to figure out why we don't take a more aggressive stance and make more parking. And if we have to leave the bus stop, okay, we leave the bus stop. But what am I missing here?
Upper Mayor, at this point, we simply were trying to meet the requirements for the developments, and so that we would be able to expand it in a manner that would accommodate those developments. But we can certainly go back and take a more aggressive approach to it. I'm not familiar with the concerns regarding the fire department. It seems reasonable that if we're going to narrow the street, there would only be one way. And if we can achieve greater parking spaces, that seems reasonable to me as well.
I've said this again to previous councils administration, and I don't want to revisit this again in two or three years and say, why aren't we making it bigger? Why don't we make it one way? If we're going to bite off this apple, and we've got, a slow time right now, I simply don't understand why we don't go ahead and do this whole thing at once and make that street one way, give us more parking. The cost can't be much more, and surely we would get more bang for our buck. That's just my two cents.
Mr. Appleston, are you familiar with any constraints to making it a one way and expanding the parking further?
No, I'm not, Mr. Rose, except for the signalized intersections at the ends, but even those, we can look for ways to convert. And certainly Leland has that availability, like Mayor Crow indicated.
I guess I'm asking this more of my colleagues. Am I missing something here? Because I don't know why we don't take the whole Band-Aid off and just get this done. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I've always been an advocate of doing that, completely eliminating the loop north, and blocking off the streets that intersect there. Those residents can get in there from the north end of their streets, and we could block off all of Loop North and increase the parking lot even more. And I've always been in favor of that, and I've never been given a reason why we couldn't do that. So I would be thoroughly in favor of that. And correct me if I'm mistaken, but I thought that there had been an initial study done in 2015, which actually looked at that and took into consideration closing off Loop North. And then the report indicated how many spaces it actually would add to the whole lot. Does anyone have any recollection of that?
So I know of that study, and cannot have the document, but yes, that's been looked at. It was a rather private proposal to the city at the time.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, hearing the input from the mayor and council, we'll go back and take a look at how we've structured this. I'm hearing from you that it's okay to maximize the parking, if at all possible, and even if that includes not having traffic on Loop North, which is currently now really just a paper street.
Right.
Is that acceptable?
Yes.
I think so. I know Mr. Hales had his hand up. Am I, Mr. Hales?
Yeah, I actually had a similar thought to the mayor. Just in looking at Loop North and the drawings, I wondered if Loop North could not effectively become one way out to the traffic signal on Kingsland, and then at the very least have parallel parking on the north side of what is now Loop North to add, you know, an additional how many spaces that would be. That to me would be the least invasive, challenging option. But I do agree. two-way, I don't know that it necessarily needs to be maintained there.
Anyone else as we're talking about this item? Okay. Anything else regarding the, gonna find my agenda, I apologize for, anything else for tonight's study session? It is my understanding, I think just for those of you, I don't believe we're planning on having an executive session tonight, just so you know that. So when we start our regular session in just about 15 minutes, then we will move through. And I'm assuming that we had a couple of changes to the agenda that as soon as the agenda comes up under letter C, that someone will simply make the motions from the city manager and that the Wayne had talked about as well. Before we adjourn, are there any other item, anything else we need to talk about before we adjourn for the regular session? Hearing nothing, to Mr. Rose, thank you. To Sinan and Cliff, thank you. We'll see you in about 14 minutes.